Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, this is Pablo Zabaleta.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Kevin Phillips.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. Look, I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios keep us on the road. This independent podcast simply wouldn't happen without them. Please head to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now. Join us. Become a socio, a member, and you'll get extra big interview content every month, plus lots of bonuses. We need you. We can't do this without you.
From Backpage, I'm Neil White, and this is the big interview at the World Cup. Waiting for us in Krasnodar is Graham Hunter. But first, I want to tell you a bit of a story. We were recording a podcast about Spain's imminent Group B opener against Portugal about half an hour ago, and were rudely interrupted when Graham received a piece of paper. Graham Hunter, over to you.
Well, it's Chamberlain, I think is my name. I have in my hand a piece of, it was actually, it needs naming here, the splendid Tim Manson, who's come all the way over from Australia to teach us how to film football, and he's doing a damn fine job of it. He actually broke the news to me because of his Portuguese friend who's a cameraman. So, you know, when news travels fast, it's often via many nationalities and usually from cameramen. And that news, Neil, was that, you know, the search for Zidane's successor at Real Madrid has been ended by the appointment of Julen Lopetegui, who, you know, trained as a junior footballer at Castilla, which is the Real Madrid B side. And it's where hundreds of great footballers have begun and then not made a life at Real Madrid, but gone on to do great things elsewhere. And he's Spain coach because he's come up through the ranks. He won the European Under-21 tournament with the same generation of guys who are here now, Rodrigo, De Gea, Koke, Isco, and so on and so forth. And given his age, which is very early 50s, given his fitness, given his CV, his profile, this was a job that he had for probably the next 4, 5, 6 years. And in the, I can't count, but what, 20 months since he took over, Spain are completely unbeaten. They came out of that European Championship defeated, well defeated by Conte's Italy in Paris. And from that day to this, they won their qualifying group. They beat Italy. They beat France in Paris. They drew with England, 2-2, being 2-0 down with 20 seconds left. There's been a change of style. There's been a change of the players enjoying it. And here he is at a World Cup where they're at least in the cab rank to say, well, we might get to this party. We might even take over the party. And yet, this afternoon, here in 84-degree Krasnodar, despite a training session this morning where there was absolutely no indication that things were advanced and with no indication that any of the players knew anything, albeit we got really nice shots today of Julian Lopetegui having a long in-depth chat with Sergio Ramos, but patently, before anybody gets the wrong idea, it was patently about the football. You could see from the gestures. And therefore, it's come as, you know, one of those really big pieces of bolt from the blue news that make you and I and Martin so keen on working in this industry, because every now and again, a story comes along where, like, nobody has had a whiff of it. It is really complete breaking news, and it's both surprising, to a certain extent shocking, and fascinating.
That's interesting. So, like, post Zidane's press conference, up until today, Lopetegui's name wasn't even one of those in the running, in the betting?
Never mentioned, never thought of. And I'll tell you why. His quality isn't in doubt. You know, people can think what they like about his time at Porto. The Rayo Vallecano experiment was a very long time ago, and a club that's, you know, notoriously difficult to do well at. But what you can tell about his work with the national team, work with the under-21s, and what you can tell by listening to the players who worked under him, and what you can tell from listening to him, he's a man of substance. He's hard, hard-nosed, hard-working, very clear in his football principles. And his football principles not only are those of Johan Cruyff, they come from Johan Cruyff. Because, you know, his career included Cruyff signing him and saying, that's the guy I want. Which is no small compliment. And, like, for example, today we had a one-on-one interview with David De Gea, and because David was one of those players who won the European Under-21 Championship in Israel under Lopetegui's orders, I did the obvious thing and said, tell me about him. And he said, look, his communication powers are good. He gets messages through to you. He said, we like his principles. His principles are dominate the ball, win the ball, have the ball, dominate the opponent. If you lose the ball, hurry, win it back. Chase them, harry them, and if you're winning, try to win by more. Don't sign off and say two's good, try for four. So players like that, and in terms of, you know, with every decision, you can retrospectively say, yeah, there's sense in this. But was his name, was he considered, let's say, glamorous enough? No, I don't think so.
Right.
Was his name touted as often as Mourinho or Wenger? In fact, Conte was being pushed really, really hard by Marca about 48 hours ago. So right across the Spain media, and I know this because having watched them closely today in the operation, having looked at their, you know, social media and their websites all day, nobody had an inkling, not a clue. And that's very, very rare in Spanish football. So many people speak to each other, and there is such a... there's a different relationship between the big media organisations and Real Madrid or Barcelona than there is in Britain. Clearly, there are some institutions in Britain that are maybe a little bit in bed with one club or another, but this sort of symbiotic feeling that Marca or AS or Onda Cero or Cope Radio, blah, 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 have with the clubs means that with decisions, sales, sackings, purchases, signings like this, that you might want to be able to unveil with a flash of blue smoke and say, ta-da! Often that is deliberately forsaken in order to create, I was going to say a relationship, sometimes ownership. You know, it's true that sometimes Madrid and Barcelona want to own the media angle completely, and their currency is the actual story, the line. So that's why it's most often the case that things get out, and they get out in a way which is, for good or bad, strategic. People are chosen, or organisations are chosen, to give a message out. Like if Florentino Perez wanted to bring Diario AS to heel, then Marca would get the story. So again, I'll go back to the idea that the fact that this could be conceived of, negotiated, and then smash bang wallop announced by Real Madrid with an agreement to pay the buyout clause of Lopetegui. He has a buyout clause, like Spanish footballers do. Real Madrid will pay for his services. He'll go back to a club that certainly he knew well, having been in the youth system there, having been at Madrid for a number of seasons and getting one competitive game for them. It's not like going home. He's a Basque. You know, he stayed for a long time at Football Club Barcelona. He was most successful with Logroño, an absolutely gorgeous city where they were in one of the best times of their entire history. And he was good enough to be considered an international footballer and go to USA 94, okay, as their choice. But again, when I sat down to interview him, I don't know, 48 hours ago, I think it was, he was saying that was the experience of a lifetime, being with Spain at a World Cup, even in a sort of observatory role. His passion for that experience, his passion for the national team, was high. And therefore, it's a further indication of the sway of Real Madrid, of the power of Real Madrid. But for him to say, right, I'm going to risk my World Cup, because, Neil, there's a risk here. There's a risk that outside critics say, all right, if let's say something goes wrong against Portugal and was going to anyway, then I think they call it aprovechar, to take advantage here is the word that, you know, would be used. People will be vantajista. They'll go, of course, that went wrong. That was because of a lack of planning, because the boss hasn't been paying enough attention because he's been negotiating his job with Madrid. Now, that might be utter tosh, but it is what people will say. I think that he's got a really good relationship with the players here, but who knows what they'll feel about him negotiating this and announcing this right now in the middle of their tournament. It's not just his tournament, it's their tournament. It could be divisive, it could be rallying, it could mean he gets more from the Madrid players. That's all speculative, and I don't think it's, you know, I don't think you can point at this decision and say that is outright disastrous. That would be wrong. But it is undoubtedly a complication that distracts, that people weren't expecting. It is undoubtedly a decision and a move by the coach, which not everybody will feel the same way about. So it's interesting, but he's a strong man, very clearly strong, intelligent guy. And now it's down for us to suck and see, because tomorrow the president of the federation, Rubiales and Lopetegui, are going to hold a joint press conference and talk to the world's media about this.
It's fascinating, and I think I agree exactly with your interpretation there. It's not necessarily negative, but it is necessarily a distraction. I wonder if it's an example of the need of Real Madrid usurping the need of the Spanish Federation. So close to such an important game. You said that it's very likely that these negotiations have been going on for some time between Madrid and Lopetegui. Similarly, is it likely or not that the players, at least the players of Real Madrid, the senior players of Real Madrid and Spain, have been on the inside of those negotiations, that it's not come as such a surprise to them?
I'd betray the style that I've built up and that socios know me for if I pretended to know. I think it's imaginable that Sergio Ramos is a reference point that Florentino Perez may have used. I think that Sergio Ramos is entirely capable of having been consulted and keeping it quiet. But I don't know, number one. I would imagine that however it's happened, it's probably safest for Ramos to say I didn't know, because obviously then he's kept it from fellow players. And I'll tell you a curious little thing. You know that after the Seville-Manchester United game, the 0-0 draw in the Champions League, I was out in the Los Libreros bar immediately opposite Nervión Stadium with a couple of guys and Sidlow. And Lopetegui came in, having been at the game, watching, studying players. And we sort of said hello, because both Sid and I worked on a television station here in Spain. Well, I'm in Krasnodar, but in Spain with him. And Sid knows him much better than I do. So, hiya, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. Oh, very good. And says, listen, mister, I've got bad news for you. Oh, what's that? And he turns and points to me and he says, listen, he's going to be your guy in Russia. For heaven's sake, don't go out on a night out with him, because he's a mental case. All right, very good, very good. And I said, listen, yeah, listen, I don't go mental. I just like to sing. I love my karaoke in a tournament. And Lopetegui turns to me and says, soy el rey de karaoke. I'm the king of karaoke. And I'm like, all right, what? Bring it on, mate. Bring it on. So, of course, when we get the one-on-one interview with him, I think it was 2 days ago, not more than that, At the end of it, I said, listen, don't forget that challenge. It's karaoke. And he went, and he just sort of turned. He went, mira, mira, mira. Yo tengo una sorpresa para ti. I've got a surprise for you. So I obviously thought that meant that we are getting it on. Whereas retrospectively, it kind of feels like this was what he was talking about, the bugger.
you had like Peter O'Hanrahan, you had the news and you let it walk away from you.
What exactly did he say to you, Peter? Ich nicht in Lichten, ich nicht in Lichten. I don't like it, but I'm going to have to live with it.
There's a 20% chance that this interview is going to go downhill unless we get it back on track, Sharpish. Let's take a break, so shows, for goodness sake, and take a breath. When we come back, let's find out more about the man who's about to be the manager of Real Madrid.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. We have all, I think, just about got used to the fact that Spain's manager at this World Cup will be the manager of Real Madrid next season. Graham, you mentioned Lopetegui's playing career earlier. Fair to say, not entirely stellar, although he did go to a World Cup. What would have been the peak of his achievements in terms of his time as a first pick?
Yeah, he had Heineken as well as Stella. And there were times playing when you'd have thought he'd maybe had a Stella or two. In fact, honestly, there was a point at which you thought he'd be a footballer who'd swung a black cat by the tail and smashed 1,000 mirrors on Friday the 13th before walking under a ladder as a can of paint fell on him. He was a good athlete. He was a dedicated trainer. He should have had a really good career. But I don't know if it was a bit Frank Spencer or things just didn't go right for him. But he grew up at Castilla, as I've mentioned, and only ever made one first-team appearance for Real Madrid, and it was April 1990. And John Toshak was the manager. Madrid had already wrapped up the title, and it was a derby match, and Madrid conceded three times to Atleti. And if you make your Real Madrid debut and concede three times to Los Rojiblancos, you don't play for them again, and he didn't. And when he went to Logroñas, he played really good football. He looked like a guy who had only needed to get game time to be able to show the original quality, which had meant that he'd been brought up at Real Madrid. And it was Cruyff who went and picked him, Neil. Cruyff thought, here's a goalkeeper who's a footballer. I don't think it's arguable that the sweeper-keeper idea was just as advanced then as now. But Cruyff wanted somebody who was comfortable in the ball. And that's what he thought he was getting in Lopetegui. It was a time when Barca had won four titles in a row. They'd just been beaten by Milan in the European Cup final. Zubizarreta was being ushered out the door. And Lopetegui was, in theory, the replacement. He made his debut in 94 in the Spanish Super Cup. And in the first leg, Sergio Busquets' dad, Carlos, had been the keeper, and Barca beat Zaragoza 2-0 in the first leg of that game. So, you know, it's Barca, it's Cruyff, that should have been game over, and the second leg is at the Camp Nou, and Lopetegui is chosen, so that it's one game for one guy, one game for the next guy. And honestly, Barca were atrocious. Lopetegui is left exposed. Half an hour into his Barca debut, Barca aren't just losing 3-1 at home to Zaragoza, then a strong Zaragoza side who'd be, you know, Arsenal's conquerors in Paris in that era. Anyway, they're losing on away goals, they're 3-1 down at home, and Zaragoza win that match 5-4. Obviously not enough to win the Super Cup itself, but the Zaragoza go to the Camp Nou and blooming score 5 and win. And it's pretty sad that a really sort of gentle free kick from Zaragoza goes through Lopetegui's hands, and he gets himself sent off in the 90th minute. And, you know, at that stage, one more goal means that Zaragoza win the trophy. Cruyff, post-match, said that a mistake as bad as Lopetegui made tonight must be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. He should blame his back four. Albert Ferrer was horrendous today. We won't crucify Julen. But he didn't play again for Cruyff for 6 months. And they get a game. He gets a game in the last 16 of the Spanish Cup against Atleti. And after 13 minutes at the Camp Nou, he's sent off, bringing down Atleti's current outgoing director of football, José Luis Caminero. So Barca are thrashed 4-1. Lopetegui showered, stomped off home, and he's famously admitted that he went off home in tears. He'd played two times for Barcelona, two home games, two defeats, two red cards. Bobby Robson gives him a match the next season. They lose the Super Cup final second leg 3-1 to Atletico Madrid with Diego Simeone in the midfield. So in 9 years at Madrid and Barcelona combined, he's played 11 first-team matches and only won twice. So, you know, on the basis of whatever doesn't kill you, make you stronger, albeit that he was born a strong-minded, pretty tough Basque, he needed to develop a hide of leather during his playing career. I have to make that point. And what has stood out all along is that he understands football, that he is a good communicator, that he can organise, and that he thoroughly believes in a brand of football which is a la mode at the moment. He is, without talking a lot about Cruyff, he's a disciple of the Cruyff brand of football. He's a disciple of the Guardiola school of football. And you know as much as I do, all the socios know that that's in vogue at the moment, and you know, thankfully so. So when you get a generation like Isco, Thiago, Dani Carvajal, Koke, De Gea, then the brand of football you believe in, Neil, like he believes in, fits exactly with the type of footballer who's available to you coming through, the new guard, El Relevo. But it also means that Busquets and Isco, Busquets and Iniesta, for example, have probably enjoyed their football under Lopetegui more than at any time since 2012. So here, I suppose, without you asking me to, I'm beginning to build a CV for why Florentino Perez has made this decision. And overall, I think there's a relationship with a particular agent which has helped pave the way for this.
I can't imagine to whom you're referring.
Well, look, Lopetegui worked at Porto. He was very nearly the coach at Wolves, where Nuno is now. And I, without having had time to investigate it, I imagine that we're going to find that there may be a Portuguese influence in the way that this appointment has been made, and that will emerge little by little over the coming hours and the coming days, because this will be the hot topic in town, obviously, even though it's Spain against their Iberian noisy neighbours. It's Spain against the European champions in Sochi, and it's going to be hard at first for the Spanish media to get their minds on that, I think.
Okay, Graham, you mentioned his time at Porto. When Lopetegui was given the Spain job and the media, sports media in Spain were reacting to that appointment, what kind of a spotlight was put on his time at Porto, which, given the budget that you had to play with, has to go down as a failure on some level?
Yeah, I mean, if you want, I think that without being an expert analyst on Porto, it was my opinion that they were coping with great debt. They were working at a time when, for example, Jorge Jesus was weaving magic at Benfica and, you know, subsequently Sporting Lisbon. I'm not going to argue the point about failure. I'm going to say that I think that he burnished his CV in terms of being able to handle the pressure of a big club. The results didn't go well. Porto removed him. But when he was appointed, everybody understood. It was clear that the whole idea of Spain having a system The way to say it probably is that the players tend to be successful with Spain once they've come through under 16, under 17, under 19, under 21, and coaches who fit well in the system are retained one way or the other. They're often given direct promotion, or they will come back into the spotlight when there's a need. And as such, I think that Lopetegui was understood to have been somebody that the Spanish Federation had seen tested as an assistant to Juan Santisteban at the under-17s in 2003, who'd won that tournament in Israel and won it with huge style. And as far as I'm concerned, the way in which he brought freshness and energy and relative youth after Del Bosque, broadly, he was understood to have been a good choice, a sensible choice, even before the results began to stack up. People knew then that the era of Thiago and Koke and Gea needed to be given its head. It was overdue. And remember, it was Lopetegui who made big decisions about, is De Gea or is Iker Casillas the number one? It's important to understand that this is a guy who's got, you know, clear-minded toughness and an ability to handle high profile. I don't know if he's political enough to handle the Madrid media in full flow. I don't know if he's political enough to handle the machinations at Real Madrid. I don't know how his relationship with Florentino Perez will develop. And I had an opinion prior to Lopetegui that say it was me that Real Madrid wanted, and they'd come to me and offered me a gigantic salary, I'd have said, yeah, I'll take this job as long as I'm on double what Zidane was on. And Real Madrid would say, well, we can't pay you that. And I said, OK, let's chat again in a few years when you need me. You come back to me because I do want to coach you, but boy, that salary's a problem. And I'd have done that, and I'd have thought a lot of smart coaches would have done that, because it's a hell of a job to replace Zidane now, not just because of his success or his charisma or the fact that he's become identifiably one of the two or three great figures all time for Real Madrid. It's that domestically there's a big rejig job to do because they finished so far behind Barcelona. There's a job to be done on the squad. The prospect of managing the latter stages of Cristiano Ronaldo's career is an interesting one that some might relish, but I think many wouldn't. And there is the tough idea of how do you keep on winning in Europe? And therefore, I'm not saying that a smart coach would have been scared of all that, but a shrewd coach might have said, I'd rather have this job once somebody else has tripped up for 2 years. So Lopetegui obviously thinks completely differently to me, because he's not only said yes, he's sacrificed his, you know, this job, which for him has been very important, and where, as we speak, he's still got a chance to do something fantastic. And you know, it doesn't tally with the way his playing career went, but if he would finish this World Cup as a winner and stride straight into Real Madrid, then Florentino Perez is going to feel a lot more smug than he does today. However, if Spain don't go well and say go out in the group stages, and that's the manager that Real Madrid are handing over to, then it could be a little bit testing for all concerned.
Okay, Graham, you thought you were covering Spain dead today at this World Cup. Something tells me tomorrow you might end up covering Real Madrid. What time is that press conference?
Yeah, in Krasnodar, we're 2 hours ahead of the UK. In our clock, it's 11:30 a.m. President and coach sitting together talking about it. And yes, it'll be interesting. I will report it, you know, very carefully, very conservatively in my role here. And no doubt, you and I will talk about it again prior to Spain facing the European champions in Sochi.
I think that's a very good idea. For now, breaking news, Graham Hunter from Krasnodar, thank you very much, and do svidaniya.
Good night, socios. I really hope you're enjoying these World Cup shows. We've got huge plans for next season, but we do need your help to make them happen. Go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter right now to become a socio, a member, to join us, to support us. You'll get an extra big interview every month, plus lots of other bonus content. Last season, our members got 9 exclusive big interviews, including Rafa van der Vaart, Troy Deeney, and Roberto Di Matteo. So go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Do it now, please.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.